Welcome to the Good Muslim, Bad Muslim podcast, episode 7. This is Taz here, and before we get started on the episode, I wanted to give you a little bit of a background. We were in New York City for this episode. We went there because Zara was performing at the Muslim Funny Fest. We'll actually have a clip of her performance up on our site. And since we were in New York, we wanted to record our podcast in front of a live studio audience. We were able to pull the show together pretty last minute, thanks to the generous and wonderful people at the Asian American Writers Workshop. We also had the support of amazing community co-sponsors. Much love to the Mipsters, Brown Girl Magazine, Muslim Writers Collective, and Saucy for pulling out a sold-out crowd. Finally, thanks to the folks that helped put together the show. Thanks to our sound engineers, Rob and Yusuf. Thanks to DJ Reka for providing the beats for the show. And special thanks to Deepa Crash from the Good Cha podcast for moderating the Q&A. You should be able to hear our Q&A up on her podcast soon. Enjoy the show. How was your Eid?
You mean the one where like we practice?
Yes.
And like we get together and like we do stuff.
Yeah.
Well, I was at a party that was with some friends, and my mom, who was the only one in our house that fasted, was at work until like 10, and had her own festival at work. I know, right?
Did you like do anything afterwards for her?
No. She just came home and we said thank you for the money.
How was your Ramadan?
Ramadan is always so hard for me to reconcile because I have lots of like eating issues.
Mm-hmm. And then we talked about this in our last podcast, episode 6, because that was our Ramadan episode.
Stank breath. That's what it's called. If you want to look it up with Saqib Kibal. So it's kind of like triggering for mm-hmm. me. Like, so I have to think about fasting in a different way that doesn't imply scarcity.
Yeah. I think for me, Ramadan is great because Zara and I, and maybe I feel like a couple people in the audience were a part of this group called Poetry Day for Ramadan.
Woo!
And we did.
Yeah.
There's two screams in the audience. We have a live audience for people listening on the podcast. So we were doing Poetry Day for Ramadan, and we do have some of the poems up on a Medium site. So I think that was really moving for me to go through that experience. And Eid for me, I was in Phoenix, and it was so beautiful.
Yeah.
I was there for Netroots Nation, and
tell us about that conference. I've never been able to go to that conference. It's a huge conference.
Yeah, it's a political blogger conference. The first year I did it was when it was in Minnesota, and we did a hijabi flash mob. Zara Bilu and I both did this, and we like...
That's amazing.
It was amazing. It was so much fun. It was because...
A flash mob, and like, you guys didn't get arrested?
We did not get arrested. We went and invaded the Republican sister convention
that
was happening.
Awesome!
And we all like put the hijabs on, and then we like invaded their space.
That is so bad.
It was pretty fun. There's a video of that somewhere on the internet, but this one was less political. But it was great to be in Phoenix. I don't know. There was a lot of a large Somalian community, and everyone was so beautiful.
How hot was it?
It was like 110 degrees. It was so ridiculous.
But it was like NYC right now is hot.
Yeah,
I'm saying with a friend, And every time I walk out of the AC room, I'm like, you guys left the heater on. It's so muggy. Was it like what? But it's desert, right?
Yes, desert. It's been so hot here in New York. It's been beautiful, though. It's been really exciting to be here. We are here because you performed
last night.
Were
you because of me? Hey. Yeah, the Muslim Funny Fest. We had a couple of comedians from the Muslim Funny Fest open for us. Thank you, Dina. Haitian, the way she likes to say it, like a Jerseyite, and Azar Usman from the Alameda Funny documentary. And for me, the Muslim Funny Fest was kind of profound, actually, because that was the first time, that I was performing for an audience where every time I made a joke, people didn't just like do like a whoosh and like check with a hijabi girl first to see if they could laugh and like turn back again. On top of that, I really appreciated it because I've never had an audience like this before where each of us are a different kind of Muslim. Imagine that. And so we all brought like different audiences, right? And so there was no like one unanimous voice that just like agreed or certified an experience. And like it was fantastic to kind of see like different people's experiences coming out, you know? And it was a beautiful thing.
What was your personal experience like? What was it like to be, you know, be invited to this fest and like being on stage and being surrounded?
I felt like a sun god. I was just glowing inside. My confidence was just shining. My self-esteem grew and grew and grew. And I just feel really confident that in the feminist matriarchy, the revolution of 2026, I can be elected your fascist dictator. So it did a lot for me.
I don't really know how to move on from that one.
Just trust. Just trust.
So I think, like, I wanted to kind of bring up, I don't know, for people who are listening, I went to Ferguson recently, and I was invited to be a part of an API artist delegation. And one of the things that we did, we went with two comedians. So then, like, our first night there, we went in front of the Ferguson Police Department, and Jenny Yang and D'Lo, they did comedy sets. They did bad police jokes, and it was kind of amazing. I thought it was such a radical moment to do, like, use jokes as a form of, like, pushing back on the police. And I kind of, I mean, this is what the Muslim Funny Fest is, kind of a different experience, but I feel like comedy, you're able to do that. You're able to push back on institutions in this, like, really hilarious way and get to people in this amazing way. What did you think that this is doing that, or what?
Yeah, I mean, I felt like it's interesting. I was thinking about that as you were saying it, like what element of this was like pushing boundaries, because we're also speaking amongst our own people. But at the same time, I feel like there are so many preconceived notions about what is and isn't a Muslim and how Muslim are you, you know, and there's like different opinions on that depending on if the NSA is asking. And so, I mean, I really liked, like, I mean, I love that sometimes I would be like, I'm a pork eating sex having Muslim, and like, you know, people would like laugh out loud and then hold it back, you know, and then like everybody would laugh again because like they're all looking at like, you know, the conservative side of the room that like said nothing as I said that, you know. So yeah, absolutely, I definitely felt that.
That's great. What was your best moment from last night, or what did you hear?
The best joke?
Yeah.
Was mine.
Which one of yours then?
But actually, I know I want to hear about like the Netroots conference. Like, what is actually Netroots? What is it for? I don't.
Well, I mean,
I'm not smart enough to be Muslim, guys. This is where like I have to show like how little I know. Like, what do you? Everyone tells me I need to go to this.
Yeah, I think Good Muslim, Bad Muslim should definitely be there next year. It's going to be in Missouri, actually, in St. Louis. So it's a blogger conference, and it kind of ties into what we're talking about. I did a panel. I forgot what it was called. I was talking about how you can use art to tell the counter-narrative of people of color communities. Mm. I think that activism is really kind of moving in this kind of a direction where it's not just about winning campaign goals and winning elections, but it's really about culture shifting. So we had a conversation on that on my panel, and we did voting stuff.
What does that mean, like culture shifting? Like how does that manifest? Like then everybody starts to agree more with me?
Yes, actually, yeah. I think I actually really started thinking about this after, I don't know if you were following my tweets, the first time I watched Temple of Doom.
Oh my god.
It was like 2 years ago. Like, I just started watching, I don't know why, I went to someone's house and it was on, so I started watching Temple of Doom. And it was so racist. Like, oh my god. I had no idea. It's the Indiana Jones movie has everyone here watched this movie?
Yeah.
Like, yeah, okay. So, you know, I'm just watching it for the first time in my 30s, all right? So, while I was watching it, I just, like, was thinking about how racist it was and how a movie like that could not be made now. And I was thinking about how the culture and society had to shift. So we had to get to this point. So, I was thinking, what's going to happen? Like, how do we partake in culture shifting? How do we partake in pushing the dialogue? And I think this podcast is doing that. I mean, you read about our fan mail earlier. We get a lot of white people writing comments to us, and it's really fascinating.
I so appreciate everything that you're doing. And can you just give me a vocabulary so that I don't sound racist?
It's been fantastic.
That's like a comedian's death, by the way. Like, the sympathy awe is like death to a comedian. Like, it's either like throw a shoe at me or laugh. Like, anything in between is just like suffocating mother love that none of us let in as comics.
That's why we're out at the night.
So I wanted to bring up something that's been in the news this week. Our podcast does go kind of, it'll be up in the next week, so I don't know what's going to be in the news next week. But Sandra Bland.
Yeah, say her name, Sandra Bland.
Yeah, I'm at a loss of what to say just because there's so much that I'm feeling about it. I saw the video. You guys see the video?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah? Show of hands, how many of you guys saw the video? Like a lot of people. And how many of you guys didn't see the video because you couldn't? Yeah. Taz just raised her hand too. It affected me so much and on so many levels because I felt like as I was watching it, I had like layers of emotions that I was aware of as they were occurring. And one of them was like, oh, thank God that somebody is videoing this, forgetting that she's dead now. Yeah. And I mean, I'm getting emotional now even just thinking about it. The whole time I'm watching her, I'm thinking, thank God she videoed this. Thank God she knew the right things to say. And then I saw the AJ stream version where they splice it with her Facebook post. Did you guys see that Facebook video? Yeah? And where she says, like, use your social media. And it was just chilling and terrifying. And I felt so unsafe. But then at the same time, I felt this sense of privilege because I'm experiencing this for the first time, but this has been going on. It's going on right now while we're talking. And so I just was like left with this, you know, anger and fear and feeling kind of Malcolm X-y.
Yeah, Malcolm X-y.
Yeah.
High five.
Yeah.
I was obsessed. I was like looking on Twitter last night. There's just so many facts about this that just don't make sense to me. Like,
right?
Yeah, like that she strangled herself, that she, that she had the cuts, 30 cuts on her wrist from the handcuffs. I don't know. There's just so many things that don't make sense. But I think one of the things that we keep hearing about is that, Black Lives Matter was started by three women, and it's. So much of it has been uplifting the narratives of black males, and that now you kind of see all these like women that are coming out and saying like women are dying too. It's not just black men. And so at Netroots Nation, actually, a bunch of black women came out and stormed the stage when the two presidential candidates that were there were being terrible on their campaign messaging, and they stormed the stage and like started saying the names of all the women that had died, black women that had died. I just think it's overwhelming. Like, I know we're supposed to be talking about this, but like, I'm so speechless by what happened just because it's so scary and it's so, but the reason why we're talking about this is because we need to talk about this. If we can like get people to listen to this as, you know, Muslims and as South Asians and Persians or whoever listens to us, like we need to get this out there.
That's where I have questions for you as an activist, because for me, like I get so inundated to the point that I think like I'm apathetic. I think like there's nothing that I can do then. And the Black Lives Matter movement has been so important for many reasons, and in part because they take time to show the progress that's being made in legislation. And but you know, I remember at a conference hearing another activist talk about how these things activate them. So I was curious for you, like, how do you sustain that? How do you sustain the drive to try to make change when it's so inundating?
Oh my gosh, that's such a hard question. I'm sure a lot of people in the audience can answer.
Just
this.
One word.
I'm shrugging my shoulders because I'm just like, I don't know.
It's work, right?
Yeah, it's definitely work. I think that's why I've kind of, because for people who don't know, I started out doing electoral organizing and like more campaign oriented organizing. I've kind of been trying to shift into more narrative based, arts based kind of culture organizing.
You guys registered to vote?
Yes.
All right. In your local election?
Yes.
Hey.
Did you?
In your local election, guys?
Yes.
Right.
Every time.
What's the point, man? Right? I'm gonna vote in the federal one. That's where I can make change.
Well, actually, one of the things
that's a joke. It's absurd. Okay, like, there's one man laughing at that who's like, "No, you guys, she's being an idiot on purpose."
I was actually tweeting about the candidate form and how like these candidates were so okay. So it was one of the candidates. I think it was O'Malley. He said something about like Black Lives Matter, All Lives Matter, White Lives Matter. And you're just like, what the fuck? Why did you just say that? And then the stage was stormed, and you're like, okay, well then that makes sense because that was terrible. Whoever your campaign manager is, fire them. But I think I totally went off on a tangent there. I don't remember what my point was.
But we want to find out what happened.
The stage got stormed by Black Lives Matter activists. And then he
badass.
Wasn't able to finish his campaign. Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Woo!
Yeah. There's like four uncomfortable white people. Okay, so I won't go on stage after. I just want to make sure that doesn't happen.
So something else was in the news this week.
Yeah.
Because Muslims are very trendy and we're very popular in the news.
I feel like there's nothing going on with us.
So I actually grew up in Chattanooga. I like was I think I was 8 years old when we moved.
Grew up in Chattanooga. I didn't even know that.
Yeah, it was like 8 to 11 there. And my memory of being in Chattanooga is that there's just trees and there's a river. And I live in California now, so there's like desert. So trees is really like kind of a strong memory. But the other memory I have is that we were part of this like really like renegade Muslim community where we were starting up a mosque. And I remember it was in the bad part of town, and it was in this brick building. But we're talking about this because there's a shooting that happened in Chattanooga.
Guess who did it on behalf of who? Donald Trump. No. Okay. The man is mentally ill, and like that's been tracked, right?
Well, yeah, because his journal entries were published. So when you read the article about his journal entries, they talk about like how he was just really struggling,
right.
And then his parents.
With Islam.
Yeah, I think it was that he was talking about his trouble with faith, but he was also troubling with like just personal stuff.
As a Muslim.
Well, you know, we carry a lot of microaggressions on our shoulders as we like move forward as brown people.
That turns into Muslim rage.
Muslim rage. Are you hashtagging that Muslim rage? I want everyone in the audience
Muslim
to like
rage
tweet
at GMBS.
Muslim rage.
I mean, like, here's the thing, like. There was the Aurora shooting, right? Like the Aurora Theater shooting, and they found his journals and everything, and then like the search continued to understand like how does society create a person like this? How does society create a person like this? And then they read his journals, and like he was seeing a psychiatrist, and like why didn't the psychiatrist catch this? And then with Chattanooga, they were like they searched his journals, and they were wondering what happened, and he's Muslim.
In Chattanooga, they were like he's a terrorist. In Aurora, they're like, man, I don't know if he's a terrorist because he. Whatever, he's white, right?
Yeah, oh, that's what I meant, is with Chattanooga.
Yeah, it was immediate.
Immediate, like, oh, he's Muslim, case solved. It's like Scooby and Shaggy got their snacks. And it was like, I mean, like, I've said this before, too, but, like, because I'm such a fan of universal healthcare, I will say it again. If Muslim crazy is going to be a thing, then, like, I deserve benefits for that. Like, if it's going to be in the DSM, right? If it's going to be in like, then it needs to be like, okay, borderline personality disorder, sociopath, psychopath, Muslim. Like, give her meds, give her meds, give her meds, give her meds. Like, covered. You know, like, if I'm going to be, like, the monster in the house, like, I want some monster status, please.
So you read an article about some guy in South
Carolina.
Yeah,
oh, speaking of crazy.
Yeah.
There was this guy in South Carolina who I recently saw this. He had, like, the Confederate flag behind him, and there's a picture of him, like, posing like this, which whenever I see photos like that, I'm like, who took it? Like, were they just like, oops, a little more to the center, a little more to the center, you want even stars on the side, like, and he was like, Muslims cannot buy guns here, right? Like, he solved it. And I have so many mixed feelings about that, because A, like, great, people aren't buying guns.
Right. There was that case where, like, that woman who, the Muslim, I think her name was the same as my sister's, but she was refused a can of soda because, you know, soda cans, weapons, right, for Muslims.
And not a gun.
Right.
So, Mr. Guy, I just want to say, like, if we are going to take this side of the narrative as, like, the evil villains going in to get guns to then kill the innocent people, we're more resourceful than guns. Doesn't really stop us. There's like, what do we got? Like, household cleaner, little club soda. You know, like, we don't need to arm up. Like, it's just ludicrous. Like, the levels of.
You had something really funny that you said last night about this.
Oh, yeah, the Muslim Funny Fest. I like playing the part of the villain. I like, you know, like, whenever there's a nuclear physics class, I like sitting in the front row. It's raising my hand. As an Iranian, excuse me, professor. plutonium. Can we find that on, like, the Craigslist? I mean, a Persian villain is hilarious to me anyway because they just get distracted by house music. DJ is just like cracking up. She's gonna play some house music, but here's the most embarrassing thing about it. She'll play, and here's what I have to do every time because this is how I was raised.
Mara is snapping and dancing on the sofa for our audio listeners.
Yeah. Yeah, there's nothing to be learned from this. We should have.
Okay, so we're gonna. Are we
late? No,
shut up.
I know the song!
Oh, that was amazing. I wish we could capture that more. Zara was just dancing like a Persian.
Like a Persian. Snapping for the very first time.
I feel like we're gonna get some awkward Ask a Muslim questions after this.
Not from Persians.
That was my segue.
Which I'm supposed to introduce. The bad Muslim over here. Like, okay, so your awkward Ask a Muslim, you had kind of an awesome one.
Oh my gosh. Okay, so my awkward Ask a Muslim was related to the Chattanooga shooting, actually, that just happened. I got asked, why aren't there more Muslims condemning this act of terror? I was just like, motherfucker. I was so mad. I was like, are we asking white police officers to condemn their acts of terrorism? I mean, yes, we are because of Black Lives Matter, but, like, you know, like...
Because,
like,
of Black Lives Matter.
Right,
like,
right. There's a movement around that, right? But they're, like, Muslims are constantly asked to be condemning acts of terror, but it's just, it's ridiculous because... It's just ridiculous. I mean, you all were laughing, so you all understand how ridiculous it is. I'm just not very articulate on this point. I just get so mad with this when this happens, because I end up not having very great sound bites because I'm always trying to not answer the question, and then it makes it very difficult.
Yeah, I enjoy speaking on behalf of all people.
I enjoy speaking on behalf of all Muslims.
And, like, Like, I appreciate that. But, like, when people ask that question, I am immediately like, thank you so much for your faith in my authority. Like, my awkward ask a Muslim moment was kind of, like, related to this, actually. I was on PRI recently for The World.
Woo!
Yeah. Did you guys hear it? Did I sound smart?
Awesome.
It's because they edited it. I got so stumped because, you know, he was asking me about my family's experience with the sanctions being lifted, which was just like hella house music in my house. And
we need a DJ all the time for this podcast.
Genuine warmth every time. Like, if you played Justin Bieber, I would just be like, oh, there it is. Give me that beat. So they asked me on PR, they surprised me all of a sudden, you know, so like on speaking for the Good Muslim, Bad Muslim podcast, how do Muslims feel about this? And I was like, and I'm paraphrasing, of course, but I got stumped all of a sudden, and I felt like the interviewer doesn't understand that is like the equivalent of being like, hey, James, you live in Alabama and you celebrate Christmas. How do you feel about California's drought?
You know what I love about this, though, is that the fact that we have this podcast makes you an Iranian expert. You're a foreign policy expert on Iran. And the last podcast was all about how you couldn't even make it inside Iran, right? Like, right? So all of a sudden, you're the expert, which is amazing because I feel like this means that we can be experts for anything now with this podcast.
My eyes just dilated. And also, like, then it puts me in a position to, like, speak on behalf of the both of us on the podcast.
I'm okay with that in some situations.
Exactly. Also, like, I don't know anything about Iranian politics. Like, I got really excited because after I did it and I was so, like, stumped, I actually sought out a friend of mine, Suzanne Perry, and she writes, political fiction. And she's Iranian, she's Jewish, she's American, she's got a really complicated narrative and actually studies political science, unlike me, who studies Netflix. So I really appreciate. I have a clip that I'll put up on our site where
check out goodmuslimbadmuslim.com for homework links. So for this things from today will be up there.
Yeah, and she broke it down for me using Harry Potter language. It was so awesome. She was like, okay, so Zara, there's two Hogwartses. And I was like, shut up. I thought it would just be one and the Iranians would be Slytherin. Mind blown. And then she was like, okay, and there's many Voldemorts. I was like, no. She's like, there's Voldemort Netanyahu. There's Voldemort Dick Cheney. I was like, oh my God. I was like, who's Obama? Hermione Granger. For you guys.
Do you have a fatwa you want to declare? So we here on the podcast we declare fatwas because we've empowered ourselves to do that, and we are doing it on behalf of all Muslims.
I mean, if we're going to. I feel like, honestly though, like, imagine somebody just handed you like the authority to speak on behalf of like 3,000,000,000 people. I don't even know how many Muslims there are. That's how much you should not
trust.
That
sounds right.
What
on behalf of all Muslims, I think that's right.
I was like, why don't we raise the number every time?
On behalf of 100 people. 100,000 people.
Wait, it goes backwards. We declare fatwas. Taz, you have a fatwa that I feel like has been a legacy you've continued in this podcast.
Yeah, it's a kind of a running gag. For folks who've been listening, the Bacon Lobby was like one of my fatwas. Because Muslims can't eat pork, so
except for this one.
Because of this, this has been the running thing. Okay, so scientists in Oregon created this genetically modified seaweed, which has like twice the nutrition of kale and tastes like bacon.
What?
Yeah. Fatwa on them.
Have you tried it?
No, I haven't. I think it's still in the labs. Do you know what else?
Ew!
They're like figuring it
but
out.
But like, I never want to hear my waiter be like, "I'm sorry, your order is late. It's still in the lab."
So Bay Area.
Well, who's running the lab?
White people.
Isn't it an empowered minority?
I did that.
Speaking on behalf of all white people.
Do you know what else I learned was, like, not bacon, but was mistaken as bacon? Bacon bits. I saw it on a vegan website. Bacon bits all these years have been vegan. So all those years I sent back, like potatoes that were covered in bacon bits. Because I think that was really trendy back when I was a kid, like potatoes and bacon bits. I could have eaten them.
Every time I brought actual bacon home, I told my mom it was bacon bits. So I've known about this for a while.
What's your fatwa?
Okay, my fatwa is on women who don't sit down on the damn toilet seat. There are women who make nests, and there are women who spray, and you know who you are. And if you sat down, you wouldn't spray, and another person wouldn't have to spray, and we could all pay it forward. So my fatwa is on pee sprayers. That's my fatwa. And this happened to me last night at the club. I was so mad. I just had this moment of rage where it was so bad. I had to run to the bathroom. It's a club. It's dark. I can't see anything. I hope you guys are, feeling me on this, sprayers. Okay? I couldn't see anything. And I'm like, I just had to pee really bad. And I'm looking down at the toilet seat. I'm like, it looks clean. And I sat down. Froze, and I took out my phone and opened Twitter. Hit all caps. Fatwa, 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 fatwa on the sprayers.
Y'all can retweet that at Zahra Noo. ZAHRANOO.
Follow me at ZahraComedy.com. I nest.
There's someone wearing an awesome shirt. I don't know if you saw it. Can someone, the person wearing the fatwa shirt, stand up?
What? Oh, that's badass.
Can you read it out loud?
Well, I can't see it though. I need to see all of your boobs. WT fatwa! That's badass. Wait, where did you get it? There's a website.
Yeah, there's a website.
Yell it out.
I can't.
Oh.
Someone else yell it out for her.
Alonthemag.com. Oh my god, they're gonna sell out tonight. Because I'm gonna buy 75.
I'm
sorry.
I'm gonna buy you an Eid Mubarak present.
So at the club, I couldn't lota in the sink because that's gross.
So lotas are, Muslims are supposed to wash themselves with water.
Yeah, and I feel like we should end on this note, right?
Okay.
No, I mean, this is going somewhere. I use club soda instead. And it sparkled. Sparkle pussy.
That didn't land as well as it did when we said it in our...
There are a lot of things that are funnier when we say them to each other. In the green room.
Okay, so one of our amazing next sections, we like to give out awards because, we're always being told we're bad Muslims, so we like to be like, yo, y'all are good Muslims. So, good Muslim awards.
Good Muslim awards that we have to give.
Do you want to give yours first or do you want me to give mine first?
Okay. Taz, what is your good Muslim award?
Okay, so, I don't know how many of y'all heard this song.
Oh,
like we woke up and the Mipsters actually put out this video, so you can go to the Mipsters YouTube account and check out the video. And I woke up and I was just going around saying, Eva Bar! Which so the reason why I'm giving an award was because I don't know for people who've been following, I'm really into Christmas movies. I'm really into rom-coms. So Christmas rom-coms are like my favorite genre. And I really want to make like a Muslim rom-com, like Eid Mubarak rom-com, which I think I can do it, maybe. I'm going to try. But what I loved about this was it's kind of like, you know, all those years where like we were told to sing Christmas songs, now we have an Eid song. And I think it's so amazing. I don't know.
Well, it adds to my, like, confusion and, like, because I am on the anti-Christmas side, which my, like, atheist husband is like, why? I'm like, you hate the fact that there is a mythical old white dude anyway, but you want him to come down the chimney and give you presents. And also because people always think Ramadan is at Christmas time.
Yeah. Right. They're like, do you get, like,
because of the
presents?
One time, yeah. They're just, like, so happy that you can celebrate with them.
Yeah.
Celebrate with me. It's like...
But your family now has Christmas trees because of your white pilgrim husband.
That may be true. Actually, the Christmas tree came with the fourth child.
Right.
So by the fourth child, like, with us, it was like, you're Iranian, Khomeini. And then, like, by the fourth kid, they were just like, yeah, so you're American. you know, just do whatever the kids in school do. Tell us what they do, and we'll do it at home.
So I do just want to note that since we are in New York, the Comunas are going to be doing a show in New York on Friday, August 21st, and they're going to be doing it with Bobby Friction and DJ Rika is helping put it together. So give it up for the.
It's the moment you've been waiting for. Dun 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 dun! Creeping Sharia. Times where we see Sharia creep and Muslims winning. Tez, take it away.
Okay, so my creeping Sharia, because we're in New York, is to these amazing halal carts.
Yeah!
I read an article. I haven't eaten there. We've been here since like Monday. I still haven't eaten at one yet on this trip. I know, I need to figure out what this red sauce, white sauce thing is. I read an article, or people have been talking about how the halal curse, like, all these white folks are eating halal, and they don't know what it means. I think that's so amazing that, you know, that's the ultimate creep.
Do you know what is an even more ultimate creep, though? In Texas, they are protesting, meaning white people. Are protesting Muslim graves. They're protesting Muslim graves right now because they can turn into Muslim zombies. How badass is that? Like, it doesn't get more freaking Sharia than that. Especially because, you know, like, they, like, in from Walking Dead, the zombies win anyway. Creeped.
I love that the name of the city that this is happening in is called Farmersville.
That's the best part. In Farmersville, Muslim zombies are creepy. Sounds like I expect Arnold Schwarzenegger to star in it. Right? In Farmville.
I feel like we have a lot of like movie plots that we could pull from this episode of the podcast.
Can we copyright them?
Yeah, we should totally copyright them. Don't steal our ideas. Or if you do steal it, give us like a percentage of your profit for making the movie.
It's a tithe. Zakat. Bring it this way. Counter narrative happening over here. Come on, people.
So are you working on anything right now? I mean, you just did the Muslim Funny Fest, which is great.
Yeah.
So congrats on that.
Yeah. Give it up for our community. Who put it together. Thank you so much for making that festival happen. So stuff I'm doing. Well, for one thing, I'm writing an article for the Love Inshallah blog. I have a column called My Infidel Husband. Check it out. I write on that monthly. And I have shows coming up. You can go to my website, zaracomedy.com. And I'll be doing a show at Dartmouth, but that's like in October. But it sold out almost.
That's amazing.
Yeah,
the school's not even in session right now.
So that was pretty badass.
Awesome. I also have a column called Radical Love. You can
which
find
is
it.
Amazing.
You can find it on the loveinshallah.com site, which is where both of our columns are. Mine's the first Wednesday. I don't know when yours is.
Me neither. I want to ask, like, how many people have, like, cried tears at work because of Taz's column?
Woo!
Yeah, okay. There are a couple of times where my boss and I just, like, held hands and took a minute. Seriously, like, a gorgeous column.
No pressure. Now I want to be, like, making sure that I make everyone cry. Pressure. I don't think I have anything else coming up. I mean, I am involved with Bay Area Solidarity Summer, so that's going to be very excited about that. So I'll be in the Bay Area for that. Hopefully... Oh, yeah, check out our poetry on... I think you can go on Medium Poetry a Day for Ramadan. Those are still up. I'm going to do like the last little push up there.
Woo!
What's going on?
Well, coming up, we've got a moderator for Q&A.
We do. We should close out our podcast, though, with a little bit of music. So thank you so much for everyone.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening to the Good Muslim, Bad Muslim podcast, hosted by Taz Ahmed and Zara Norbash. You can follow Taz on Twitter at TazzyStar, that's TAZZYSTAR, and Zara at Zara Nu, that's ZAHRANOO. The show is produced and edited by Quincy Sarah-Smith, and you can find us on the web at goodmuslimbadmuslim.com. To follow the conversation, please use the hashtag GoodMuslimBadMuslim.
Who's Obama? Hermione Granger.